All right.
Are we going? Hey, welcome back. We're in Tina's studio. Yeah. And it's you and I just talk.
That's good.
Keep it going. Keep it. No,
try it again.
I just like it like that. One. Okay, wait. What do you want me to?
No, you did great.
What, are you unsatisfied with what I just said?
No, I thought you were.
We left off last time talking about ADHD and medication.
Yeah.
And I really would like to know, because anybody out there who has ADHD, this is something I genuinely believe. I genuinely believe that if you have dealt with ADHD, you have experienced trauma.
Mm. Okay, we're going to take it there. We're going to take it to Trauma Town, Trauma Train.
We're not going to go too deep.
No, yeah, let's take it there.
But I think that if you are going to connect with people who have to deal with this on the real, possibly medicated, not medicated, between medications, trying to figure out what they're going to do, I think it's just reasonable for us to talk about it. And so I want to know from you.
Yeah.
Just maybe some experiences that you would attribute to having ADHD.
Mm.
So dig deep, that maybe were not incredibly positive.
Sure.
And I'm going to add to that, situations that you would not find yourself in after you had treatment or medication for ADHD.
Oh, when I'm spazzing out, when I'm not thinking straight. I feel like unmedicated max. Oh, let me also add, I'm not medicated for ADHD right now either. I'm fully medicated for depression and anxiety and mood.
Can you like dig deep, go back? And so now that you know what ADHD is,
mm-hmm.
can you go back and think about a time when, you know, those symptoms manifested in a way that weren't not necessarily positive?
Yeah, I think we're gonna dig deep. I think when I started dating women.
Oh, this is real. This is unexpected. Let's go.
I think ADHD probably not ruined some relationships, but made it more difficult to stay in them. Spaz kid, want everything different, want change always.
Mm-hmm.
Unsatisfied. Just like you're ADHD'd out. You are ready for the next thing always. You're ready for the next thing. So I think in my day-to-day life, wow. Especially growing up as a teen, mm-hmm. Just, you know, but that's dating. Like you're not going to find your person as a young, but
possibly.
making it harder to
possibly
lock in and take something serious and not see it as a way to just, just moving forward quick, always. So, moving forward.
So always. What I hear you talking about that that dysregulation of the dopamine, right? Mm. So like when it's regulated and you're not searching for a way to get that dopamine high, then it's not an issue.
Right.
But like if you're in a relationship with somebody and you're constantly looking for, or your brain is not, you may not even be looking for it, your brain wants that dopamine high, then you achieve that through different means. Like you meet someone new, it's exciting.
Right.
You start
the exciting part.
You start getting that dopamine high, but then like you're with them a little bit longer and that dopamine high gets less.
Thrives on the high of.
It does not thrive on the mundane.
No.
The normal. The redundant.
It do not. It does not.
No, I feel you.
Yeah.
Like it can really affect relationships. It's really interesting.
Hardcore.
That.
Yeah, I think that's.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
No, even the meds don't work. Even the meds don't work.
Why would they? It has nothing. Like unless it can help you, create a new construct for that. Then, and I know this is like really important for people who are listening to, who may have ADHD. Like this is really significant. Because it affects all areas of life, but relationally, it's incredibly important.
Yeah. Yep. And I feel like I still deal with that shit. That's not like a habit that you heal. That's just fully like brain bad. I think at some point.
Brain bad. I've never heard that term before. Please define.
Brain bad. Brain not working. The roommate in my head isn't paying rent. He hates me. he's the bills are late, shit's due, and he's not being a cooperative man. So just brain bad. It's like your dog.
So I just wanted to like chat through that because, at least for me, some of the consequences or side effects to being ADHD have been really debilitating and relationship destroying.
Self-sabotage much?
Unintentionally.
Right. You don't want to self-sabotage, but what? Uh-oh.
Doesn't it happen, though?
It happens. Are you familiar with self-sabotage and that terminology?
Oh, I'm so familiar with it.
You're hip on self-sabotage.
I'm very hip.
What are some ways you've self-sabotaged?
So, unintentionally, because self-sabotage is not something that, like, it's
you don't want to do that.
It's not like a strategic, covert sabotage.
Right, you don't have a whiteboard with absolutely a master plan. You don't have pens absolutely on a board.
Not. There's
saying,
no playbook.
How am I going to ruin this?
Absolutely not. Right. 100. Like the definition of having a disability is that it affects one major area of your life.
Yep.
And so that could be education. It could be employment. It could be your finances.
Relationships.
Whatever. It could be relationships. Absolutely, all of those things can be affected. But for me, the biggest downfall was when I needed to become independent. Like financially independent, what? Mm-hmm. I can't even explain how overwhelming it was to be the person who was responsible for and in charge of what happened with the finances and the financial health of a household. So I would have been the person who was like, oh shit, the trash didn't get picked up this week.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's my job. I was supposed to pay that trash bill.
Right.
Or, oh, shit, it's really cold in the house right now. Why is that?
Wait a minute. Yeah, wait a minute.
I didn't pay the gas bill.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't. And for your gas to get cut off, I didn't pay the gas bill for 3 months.
Shit.
But who has money in the bank to pay that bill?
Right.
Oh, I do. Okay. So let me call these people up and like pay my bill. So that was the kind of thing that was for me really detrimental because I did not have the wherewithal to have management of all those things, those financial things. But while this was happening, I was also raising kids. And so my kids had to suffer the consequences of me being what seemed like me being irresponsible with money, but it really wasn't me being irresponsible with money. It was me not being diagnosed and treated for ADHD.
Yes.
Which is a completely, completely different situation. Okay. So real talk, the most devastating thing.
Get it. Take it there. Let's take it there. What was the most devastating thing, Tim?
The most devastating thing was my kids coming home from school, not having had lunch. Because I forgot to put money on their lunch account. It wasn't that I didn't have the money.
I was about to ask, yeah.
It wasn't that we didn't have the money. It was because I was not attentive to those things because of ADHD to make sure that those accounts were filled. But you have a 9-year-old coming home from school hungry.
Shit.
Because you didn't pay their lunch bill. And the lunch lady was like, I'm sorry. Your lunch account is zero. You can't have lunch today.
By the way, that shit should not be legal. What's up with free lunches?
I can't even talk about that.
Is there not free lunches?
What I will say was that as a parent, having money in the account and the ability to pay that bill and then to have your child come back and in the day, I mean, I can't even express how small that made me feel as a person. And we can talk about imposter syndrome later.
Please,
but to be like, okay, you are not even a mom. You are not even like worthy to be on the planet right now because this ADHD. And I know other people experience this. I know they feel this. And it's something that is like so far beyond your control that you don't even, like you can't even conceptualize that it is. But society says it's your responsibility and that you're worthless or you're a loser or you're, oh my gosh, so many other things. Oh yeah, things.
They get on your ass.
They do.
Yeah, just by default, they're on your ass.
What you mean your daughter didn't eat today?
Yeah,
you couldn't feed your kid for one day? You couldn't figure that shit out?
They get on your ass by default.
No, ADHD, folks, that stuff
did you know
is
it was ADHD?
Real.
You didn't know it was ADHD because you weren't diagnosed yet.
I wasn't yet.
So you were just like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah.
You were just bad
no,
self-talk.
I wasn't just, even. I was just like, I'm a terrible mom.
Right.
I'm a terrible human.
Why me?
Not so much why me.
Word.
Because I really believe that it was my responsibility. That mm-hmm. was what was instilled in me. So for me, I never was like, why me? I was always like, you need to do better.
Yes.
Like, you're a terrible person. You're worthless. You're...
Shit. You're beating yourself up. You're eating yourself.
Which hence led to the previously slightly disclosed discussion about why should you be living on this planet when you can't like get your 9-year-old lunch in the lunch line.
Right.
When the meals are $2.29. Why are you not feeding your kid that lunch? Why are you not doing that?
I think my dad never even thought about that shit. Like, there was times where we had no money in the account, but... To relate to you, my dad didn't even think about that shit. He was like, what? You gotta pay for lunch. And like, there's times where he would just forget too.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that he didn't have the money, but it's like, what? I gotta pay? Like, oh shit, when do I do that? When do I re-up your account? How do
so
I know?
Maybe he's ADHD too.
Oh, he definitely is something.
Okay, so I really want you to talk about that because yes. I knew I was on the parent side of shit. My kid didn't eat today.
Yes.
So you talk to me about
not
the side
of
going through the lunch line.
Oh.
And so it's going to be really painful to me, but talk to me about going through the lunch line and not being able to get your meal.
In middle school, it was much harder. High school, I was like, fuck it, I'm stealing. But in middle school, not being able to get lunch. One, you're already being judged if you can't get a la carte. If you can't buy a juice, like a juice, you're already not cool. So if you don't even have $2 for an a la carte, you're already fucked by default. But going through a lunch line and not being able to get lunch, not only do you not have a la carte, you don't even have a tray, which was not humiliating. But at times, and it only happened a few times. This wasn't like an everyday thing, like, like fucking empty pockets, boy. Don't let them catch you with a home lunch. You better not be bringing your own lunch.
Okay. Keep talking.
but yeah, you don't want to get caught with a home lunch. You want to be eating middle school lunch and you want to have a la carte. And I never got a la carte.
Okay. So
I never healed that
about
myself.
Let's pause that real quick. What's a la carte? For those who don't know what a la carte is.
A la carte is extra bonus food. It's like a grocery store in the lunch line. Oh, you want a cool soda pop? You want a candy bar? That's a la carte. While you're getting your lunch, little bonus points. It's bonus cool. You look extra cool. You're double fed. Just more shit. Just more food that you buy in cash. Like, it's not
right.
on your card. You don't. A la carte is cash. Like,
right.
your parents. There's a rap lyric by Boldy James. He goes, "Bringing too much money to school got my son suspended." I was like, that's crazy. Like, giving your kid, like,
right.
too much money, I wish, at the time. But anyways.
A la carte.
A la carte can't.
Let me buy a round for the table.
Let me buy a round for the table. Everyone
Capri
gets.
Capri Suns for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. That was Boldy James' son. But it was never that. Middle school, it was humiliating. But middle school is humiliating by default. So then when you're not getting lunch. Anyways, never made me hate my parents. Let me take it there. I never blamed my parents. And I hope you know that.
Wow.
Never blamed my parents. I knew it was my mom or dad's fault, but I was never like, why, mom? Why am I not eating? I'm just like, fuck it. I'm just, fuck it. Like, I'm just going to like.
That's not cool, though.
I'm just not going to eat. But we'd never go home and be like, mom, dad, what happened? I'll bring it up, but I'm never like angry. I just remember vividly being like, just reminding them like, yo, I wasn't able to eat today. But in high school, that's when my dad tapped out on me. They stopped giving a fuck whether or not it's for the best. But
wow.
Lunch don't matter. You're on your own. I made my own choices. I was doing my own thing. I was living with you.
Leave campus, whatever.
Leaving campus. Like, my dad just kind of tapped out.
What do you mean
out.
You were living with me? I didn't know.
No, you knew. I was on your couch like for a year, probably. You were taking me to school. I know you remember taking me to school.
Yeah, but I didn't know you didn't have lunch.
Oh, no. Well, come on. That's a secret. Because I didn't care. I was stealing. I was so good with the lunch ladies, me and my friend Blake. They're just giving us lunch. We're stealing lunch.
Okay,
we're sweet talking. We're getting fed. We're asking for dollars and people are giving us dollars. We were just like not popular, but we were annoying enough to be fed. Did you have parents that were, how were your parents?
You don't want to know.
You don't want to take it there?
I can. I absolutely can.
We don't have to.
No, we can do that.
How were you raised?
My parents were absolutely 100% the absolute best parents that ever existed. I mean, I really did have the best parents that existed. I was a little bit rebellious. And my parents retold the story and they laughed about it. They said they'd tell me, like if I was messing with the coffee table, they'd be like, Tammy, take your hands off the coffee table. And they'd say that I would leave my full hand on the table, but I'd step away.
Oh, yeah.
And then they'd say, okay, move away from the table. And I'd pull my body further. Mm. And then they'd say, Tammy, take your hand off the table. And they said that I would take my pointer finger and I would drag it all along the coffee table until I got to the end. Yeah. And then I would throw my full hand up and walk away.
Damn, you were extra.
I was extra.
You were an extra kid.
And they were, but they supported my identity and who I was. And so that's what I always expected. And then my parents also gave me the most absolute beautiful picture of marriage that I had ever seen. Oh, ever.
They had a great marriage.
Oh, absolutely.
And the marriage.
And they're still married now. They're still married now. It's been more than, geez, I can't even know, like 60, coming on 60 years.
60 years of marriage.
And they would, like my dad would come home from work. My mom mostly didn't work. She mostly worked from home. She periodically worked part-time jobs throughout the lifetime, but my dad would come home from work in the evening and then they would dance in the kitchen.
Damn, they were in love.
Yeah.
They're doing a little dance.
When I'm like, no, I'm in high school and they're still dancing in the kitchen.
That's beautiful.
Right? And so, but they were one in love with each other and then very accepting of who each one of us was individually. And they really supported whatever that was. My daddy once gave me the best advice that he ever gave me that I will treasure to this day. I had been given a job offer to move to Alabama from Kansas, and I was like, I don't know if I should take the job. I don't know what I'm going to supposed to do. And I called my dad and I said, what do I do? This is what the pay is, blah blah blah. And he said, hey, I can tell you what to do, but I can tell you are either going to make a great decision or you're going to make a learning decision. And either one is going to be great for you for the rest of your life.
And you apply that to your day-to-day now? You feel like that advice still hits you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You still rock with it. It's great advice.
Yeah. And so I had great parents. I had parents who are married and stay together, who understood what.
You were teasing it like they were the worst. You were like, you don't want to know.
No,
you better tell me some trauma.
No, I have no, absolutely.
I think it's important that people hear about good marriages.
I
have
the absolute most wonderful childhood. I couldn't even. So let's just keep it real because we are in an emotional state.
We are in an emotional state. It's 9 o'clock on a Sunday. We're being
vulnerable.
We're being vulnerable. It's being very real. What you got? What are you thinking?
Let's talk about pets.
Oh God, pets. Pets is horrible.
Is it?
Having pets is terrible.
Should we say that for another time?
No, let's talk about pets. I can talk about mine. I love my
pet. So technically on the list is pets passing away.
Pets passing away.
It's going to be devastating, so let's do it, okay?
Yeah. My dog died last year.
Was it just last year?
Maybe 2 years ago. Atlanta was a blur. When I was living in Atlanta, I don't remember. I think it was two.
Did your dog pass away when you got out of town?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
When I was living in Atlanta, my dog passed away. For context, I had this dog since I was 7 years old. I got her tattooed on me. My dog's on my arm. Her name was Precious. And grew up with this dog. This dog was I'm just gonna trauma dump by my dog, but my dog Precious, she was when my dad was never home.
No,
she was always home. That was my homie. When I was performing to myself in the mirror, when I was my raw self, Precious was watching. She was there with me, so I felt like a real emotional connection with this dog. I was like, this dog knows the real me. I'm an introverted extrovert, but I'm very introverted, and I was like, I don't have to talk to my dog about anything. Right. I don't got to entertain my dog.
She knows you.
She knows me. So I can just kick it with my dog.
Yeah.
And so I did always. I love that dog. And so.
Precious.
So she was there since 2007 when I was 7 years old until I was 23 or 22 when she passed away. And my dad, I'll also say, loved that dog more than me probably. My dad was, this is my kid. Like, my kids are out.
For sure, because he was living with her longer than you.
Yeah. Yeah, hell yeah. So he got...
Surely, Precious was his companion.
He got the worst version of her. I was able to... I saw her down bad, aging, but when I moved to Atlanta, I didn't see her unable to walk. Sure. I didn't see her completely blind. I didn't see her, like, at her worst, but yeah. My dad did. And so when he called me when she died, that call... I've gotten two really bad calls that involved death in my life, and the dog one... was probably more devastating because my dad's crying.
So I'm going to ask you to back up in the middle of your story and tell me about how many times have you seen your dad be moved to tears in your lifetime?
Never. That's cap. I've seen my dad once and he thought I wasn't watching in my bedroom, and he was talking to his friends in the living room. They were drunk as fuck. And he was like, this is the one soundbite I'll never forget that my dad dropped on my friends, on his friends. I don't know what they were talking about. I don't know what they were doing, but he just said, I just want my kids to be happy. And he was bawling. And I was like, what? I was like, my dad just spit some like serious shit. Like, he cares like that.
How old were you?
Oh man, I was probably six or five. I was probably five or six. Super duper young.
Yeah.
And that, even when my dad wasn't nice to me, or if my dad was a little harder on me, yada, 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 I remembered always him saying, like, seeing him in tears, my peripheral, like, what's going on? What's the sound going on? He's blackout. But, like, in my peripheral, I'm like, he just said he wants his kids to be happy. That's all he wants. And so that made me, like, that was real. Like, I just, like, oh, shit, this is my dad's a...
And my that's a cares. Core memory. That's what's called a core memory. Like, you can't let go at six...
Yeah.
That's a part of your essence, a part of who you are. Like, mm-hmm. You will never, ever lose that. What a gift. I mean, that's a huge gift.
But shit, my dad wants me to be happy. Why are you being mean to me? You're not making me happy.
It takes us to be mean to you for you to be happy.
No.
You can't be happy if we can't slap you in it.
right. I'll slap it. I make you happy. No, my dad was... Anyways, dog died. When I was in Atlanta, my dad called me crying. He said, I don't know what to do with her.
Oh, bless him.
My dad didn't know what to do with her. Mm-hmm. And so he was asking me for advice. I was like, dude.
What do you do?
Well, I told him he should have put her down years ago.
Tables are turned. No, you didn't either.
Always. Every time I go over there, she's in worse condition.
Oh, to end her suffering.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No teeth, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, bless her.
She was down for a long time. She was down, going downhill for at least 7 years, mm-hmm. as dogs do. They stay in critical condition for a long time. Told him to put her down for a long time. He never wanted to.
Unreal.
The
longevity of a canine's lifespan. Like, it.
No one should own a dog.
It seems like forever.
No one should get a dog.
I disagree, but go on.
I think no one should suffer. Getting a pet is just like another death. Why are you buying another death?
Wow.
That's all you're doing. You're just buying death.
Okay.
You want
that's
death
incredibly,
so bad. That's what it is.
That's incredibly pessimistic.
No, it makes you happy for a little bit.
That's
and then you're just
morbid.
Like, oh, it's dead.
Way morbid. Damn.
Yeah. You're buying another death. You're investing. You're saving a dog, and then you feel good about it, and then it just dies on you?
No. We'll talk more about this later.
That's...
But let's finish. What was the question?
You were saying dead pets passing away. And so that was my experience. That was my only pet. I'll
okay,
also
so,
throw that in there.
So basically, so let me just recap. So what happened was your Precious was at the end of her life.
Yes.
You were not in the state.
Yes.
And so you had to experience her loss from afar.
Which, thank God for it, honestly. Probably would have been way harder if I was like, my dad's like, you want to see your dead body before I take her? You want to come with me? He probably would have asked me to ride with him.
He might have.
Yeah, which he probably needed that.
But it's incredibly cathartic.
Yeah. That shit was sad, though. It was devastating.
When was that?
When was that?
Mm-hmm.
I think either a year or a year and a half ago. I think 2 years ago or a year ago.
Did you lose Precious the same time we lost Rosie?
Yes. That was me and Caleb, kind of talked about that. But when you lost Rosie, talk about Rosie. Who's Rosie? What's a Rosie?
Rosie is my English Shepherd / Border Collie.
How long did you have Rosie?
Let me see. That would have been, we lost her maybe a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
A year and a half ago. But we had got her. She was a gift. Did you know that?
From Auntie?
Yeah, from my sister.
I do remember that. Yep.
My sister, when I got divorced, my sister got her as a gift for us. Really a gift for me because, you know, a single woman in a house, no protection. And so she got this dog and we went to meet her at the Humane Society. Perfect for our family. Absolutely brilliant, intelligent dog. And yeah, she was amazing. Amazing. So there were times when going through the divorce, when I was really heartbroken or confused. And in those moments when I felt like I was at the end of myself,
yeah,
and I was like just bereaved, she would come to me and just like lay her head on my knee. Shit. Or just sit down right in front of me. I didn't call her. She always knew, which was phenomenal. She was a brilliant dog.
She was able to read the vibes.
Yeah. But then ultimately, years later, she was incontinent. She had all kinds of stuff going on with her. And it was different for us. Like, I wasn't like, you should have put her away. It was like such a devastating decision to have to say, okay, it's finally that she's at the end of her life. And I took her to have her put down. And it was like incredibly emotional. It was one of the most horrible things I've ever done. It was horrible.
It was horrible.
It was, yeah. And so I took her, but I knew it was the right thing to do. And it was way, way past the point that it should have been done.
Right. Right. Which,
like, bad. It should have been done sooner.
Which is what I was telling my dad with Precious. I was like, come on, dude. And he, of course, he's not.
And it was
do
for
that.
Me.
Right.
It wasn't for her, because had I been thinking about her and her pain and her needs, I would have put her down. And right. Then finally, we decided as a family, this is what we needed to do. And so we took her I took her.
Did you go by yourself?
Yep.
Mm. You had no one rocking with you. It was a rogue mission. That's so sad.
Which is really crazy because she is my ride or die.
Yeah.
Like when we were going through the divorce, like, and I sought out physical fitness as a way to release, right?
Yeah.
And for my health and pain. And I'd go running and she was my running buddy.
Oh, like, she was there with you.
Yeah, I'm doing my 5K. She's right with me. Like, we're running together. And that's how I was part of how I would release the negative emotions. And then, so I take her in and I go and I'm fine. Like, I plan to take her. I put her in the car. We're good. I know this is the end. I know it has to happen. I know that she's at the end of her life. She's 13 plus years old. And I get in there and I kid you not, I have to start filling out the form and I break down like my kids don't even know this. I break down like a baby. Like, I can't. I'm like, I'm weeping hysterically.
Uncontrollable.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. I'm weeping hysterically and I don't want them, because they come in to take your pet to do the euthanasia and I'm hysterical. They can't come in and take her.
Shit.
They can't come in and take her because I'm like.
Were you fighting back?
No, it wasn't that I was fighting back, but they knew that it was just like the inappropriate moment.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I'm sitting
on
the.
Let me get your dog real quick.
They've got this concrete floor. So I'm sitting on the floor next to my dog and I can't like let her go.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, I can't take her home. I can't let her be miserable. right? I can't, you know what? I can't do that either. And so I have to let her go.
Mm.
I mean, brutal.
Yeah.
And she was my protector, my companion. When I had lost, after being married, I lost my protector. I lost my companion. And she was my protector.
She filled that void a little bit. She was, yeah, she was a little void filler.
A little bit like you. I mean, like, you can't say an animal is like your life partner.
Hell yeah,
but
you can. Hell yeah, you can.
You can't really say that. I mean,
oh, it's a little freaky, but you can say that for sure. Precious, yeah, my life partner. That was my girl.
Super wrong. Just right. So you girl. Get it. Come you on. Get it. You get it. So when
I got
she,
her tatted on.
But ultimately, like you and me, when I finally had to say, this isn't about me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfair. It's unfair to force her. It's unfair to force her to suffer because I don't want to let her go.
Yeah. And I want to ask you a follow-up question to that.
Oh, damn.
Here's a follow-up. And this is where we got very different views on. How do you get another dog after that? How do you do that?
So you've never got another dog?
No.
So
my dad refuses to. He's like, fuck that.
Oh, that's really interesting.
And I'm also the same way. I'm like,
because
fuck another pet.
I know someone else who actually feels the same way. And so she passed. And then I don't know that I would. For me, I don't know that I would have so soon got another pet,
mm-hmm.
but my daughter wanted another dog. And so instead of getting a dog for myself, what I did was I got a dog for my youngest for her birthday. And that new dog has become our family pet.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would have done it for myself.
Thank you for listening to You and I Just Talk with Max and Tammy. If you learned something, let us know. Sponsors, come our way. We're willing to shout you out.
Absolutely. Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Save this? What do you do on a podcast? Do they like it or save it or follow a podcast page?
You can like it. You can subscribe to it.
Like this podcast. Subscribe to the podcast.
Follow.
We'll be doing this frequently. So thank you for listening.
If you follow, we'll lead.
You dig. You and I Just Talk. Max and Tammy. Good night. Bye-bye.
It's okay to laugh on a podcast.
It's fine.
But we haven't.